This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jonah Carey.
Yeah, great to see you.
Me too. I don't know who you are, but it's great to see you.
The Athletic and the Jonah Carey Podcast.
He's thrown his pillow. He's thrown his nightcap. And Yuppie's been thrown out of the ball game.
Tim Raines, enthusiast.
Tim Raines.
Yeah!
Welcome to the Hall of Fame. Tim was rock solid playing.
Is that right?
Jonah Carey with Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Jonah Carey's on Twitter at Jonah Carey. He writes for The Athletic. He talks on the Jonah Carey Podcast and with us on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. He will be part of our 2019 baseball coverage as he was part of the 2018 baseball coverage. He's with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hello, Jonah. How are you?
And a free four to every regular guest. That's very exciting. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah. Yes, it's a promotion we're happy to run. Thank you for that.
On the radio as we speak. The news of the week here locally was the extension of Eloy Jimenez by the Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. It could be up to $77 million for 8 years for a guy who's never played Major League Baseball. And still, consensus is way to go, White Sox. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, and it's a perfect time to talk about this. I just released my MLB trade value rankings at The Athletic, and what that really does is it takes every player in baseball. I went to all 30 rosters, major league rosters, and then the minor leagues, anybody affiliated with an organization, and said, how much value does this guy have? So it has to do with ability and numbers, obviously. But then you look at age, you look at how many years you can control the guy, you look at health, and you put it all in the blender. And what you find when you talk to executives within the game, you know, I asked them about Mike Trout, for instance, the $430 million contract. Mike Trout didn't make the top 50. Mike Trout is unquestionably the best player in the world, but he's making $430 million, and there aren't that many teams that would, you know, pay a premium for that. Whereas if you look at somebody like Ronald Acuna or Juan Soto, who have less than 1 year of service time, but were so awesome that first year, spoiler alert, those guys are very close to the top. So then you get to a guy like Jimenez, who doesn't quite have the track record that Soto and Acuna have, which is very minimal to begin with. He has nothing, really. So you're going by projection. But that's the point. That's what scouts get paid for. That's what stat heads get paid for, is to be able to project guys. And long ago, we found that you can usually project minor league performance as long as you take into account age and all that stuff. Mm. And by those standards, Jimenez is projected to be a multi-time All-Star. So if you consider that, and you consider that he's going to be controllable for 6 years and now maybe 8 years, then yes, he becomes a very, very valuable commodity. He was valuable before the contract extension. He's still valuable after the contract extension.
We spent the whole offseason, Jonah, talking about the health of the baseball marketplace and trying to assess it with each and every multi-million dollar contract that was signed. Probably not the smartest way to go about things, but we do a show every day, so that's kind of where we're at. I wonder if more contracts like Jimenez's, whether it's to a guy that literally has not played in Major League Baseball or has just played maybe just a touch, would that be a shot in the arm for the labor relations? Would that be something that might just fix things 3 years from now?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Baseball salary structure is pretty arcane. It was set up years ago. You know, Marvin Miller, of course, there was no salary structure before. It was everybody was chattel, and you had to belong to your team, and you had no negotiating rights whatsoever. So they changed it, and they made it that the first few years, you know, we were basically making nothing about the league minimum. Then you get to arbitration, then it starts to get interesting. And what's happened now is teams have realized the players are peaking around age 25, which is when they're very much controllable. And by the time they get to free agency, they might be 28 or 29, and they might have already passed their prime. So teams get to have it both ways. They're not spending money for free agents other than the premium free agents. You know, the middle guys are not going for. And then on the front end, they don't have to pay anybody anything. Blake Snell was not happy, and other people were not happy on his behalf, the defending Cy Young Award winner, when he won the Cy Young and then got a 2% raise to basically just over the league minimum. Now, they subsequently signed him to a $50 million extension. But that $50 million extension is below market value. If Blake Snell went out on the open market right now, he'd make easily nine figures, no question about it. So you look at somebody like Jimenez, and it's the same sort of thing. Yes, he doesn't have to make $500K now in his first season. That's wonderful. But at the same time, if Jimenez was a free agent and could just bargain his rights and shop his rights anywhere, he would make way more than $77 million over 8 years, even though he's not played a single game. So it's good in some sense. I mean, at least his team's stepping up to the plate with some good gesture. But the bottom line is that the system itself is fundamentally flawed. That's what needs to change. And that's a tough nut to crack because, you know, the players have nothing they can bargain with. They can't be like, okay, we'll let you have a pitch clock and you give us way, way, way more money. That's not going to happen. It's going to be the kind of thing that, unfortunately, might have to be resolved with some tension, and dare I say, maybe even with a labor stoppage. Because right now, as I said, teams are playing in on both ends, and players are still getting squeezed.
Been thinking a lot about Ichiro after we got to watch him walk off the field, and that's a player who, when he came along in 2001, I believe, it's all kinds of debate about what he was and what he was going to be. And for me, he's part of a larger picture in my mind. And give me a little latitude here, Jonah, but sports at the highest level are homogenizing because of understood best practices, because of coaching, because of video cameras, because of YouTube, our tiny, tiny little world, and YouTube sanding down the edges. We don't have siloed development of, say, somebody on a course who swings a club like Lee Trevino on the same course with Arnold Palmer and his helicopter finish. All these kids come out of the SEC with all the same swing. Baseball players look the same. Pitchers' motions look the same. This is just how you do it now. We're not going to see Adrian Dantley on a basketball court ever again. Goalies. Look at butterfly goalies. They're all 6'2", and if they're all wearing the same uniform, could you really tell one from the other? I think you're lying if you say you could. And Ichiro, I see Ichiro as one of the last of a sui generis high-level professional athletes doing something in a way, all of his in-between pitches, the stretches, the swing, the style of game, the approach, that I'm lamenting the fact that it's an individual kind of player that we see so few of.
First of all, boy, do I love this discussion. I'm almost certainly going to write about it, and I'm definitely, if I write about it, going to credit you because this is phenomenal. And when you said Adrian Dantley, I can't tell you how tickled that was. Adrian Dantley, for people who don't know, was about 6'3" and a half and used to post people up and score 30 a game.
Yep.
There's no such thing as that anymore. All of that, absolutely true. It's funny, you know, the other guy who's in the spotlight right now is right at the beginning of his career in the spotlight, which is Zion Williamson. And he is also sui generis in that he's 6'7", 285. You know, LeBron was sort of like, okay, wow, here comes a big guy who could do crazy stuff. But Zion is even beyond that. I mean, that's what makes me just, his body type and everything is amazing. And with Ichiro, it is body type to a certain extent. I mean, he's a little guy, but it's also his preparation. And so I imagine that's where you might see, you know, it's going to be one of two things, right? It's either going to be genetics like Zion, or it's going to be somebody who just decides to do things very differently for one reason or another. You know, in some ways, Trevor Bauer was a little bit ahead of his time in that he was looking at biometrics and all this stuff, and he was trying to gain an advantage. But by the time Trevor Bauer really became an ace-caliber pitcher, well, gee, now everybody has Kinitrax and Rapsodo and everything else, on top of, you know, the great article in The Athletic today about, you know, ways that you can really sense things in people's bodies. You know, everything, biometrics, all that stuff is happening. And so Bauer was ahead of the curve, but people caught up in a hurry. But you can't really catch up to a Zion Williamson. And in some ways, I'm not sure you can catch up to an Ichiro, too, because he just doesn't care. He doesn't care that everybody's three true outcomes anymore. His skill set is George Sisler. For people who don't know who George Sisler is, he was the single season hits leader until Ichiro. You know, the kind of guy who just hit singles, and that was a really effective strategy back in the day, and now people just frown on that. So all of that is true. I think you're right, and you're right that that's a great loss to the sport because, I mean, how many of us love Ichiro, love Zion Williamson, right? We want things that are not only good, but are different. That's what makes sports so much fun.
That's why I loved Tim Lincecum for some reason.
Oh,
And I realized it was because he's not supposed to be doing this, and his preparation maxed out whatever he had for as long as he could have it.
I think that's right. You know, and we were all kind of lamenting, oh, this is the end of Lincecum. But, gee, we should be thankful that he came along in the first place. And, by the way, I'll throw Pedro Martinez in there, too.
Fair enough.
I mean, I don't think he didn't have the same mechanics, per se. But when he came into the league, he weighed 146 pounds, dude. This is not your big, strong right-hander. This is not Roger Clemens. And, in fact, Tommy Lasorda thought so little of him that because the Dodgers whiffed on Jody Reed in free agency, they traded Pedro Martinez for, at the time, a pretty good player in the lineup. Reynolds to Shields, but it became one of the most one-sided trades in baseball history because Tommy Lasorda did not recognize a sui generis player when he saw one.
You know, and if you plan on writing this kind of thing too, and I could talk all day on it. We had Dana White on from UFC.
That's right.
And it came up with him too, where that was an entire sport built around the idea of one style pitted against another style of like a Hoist Gracie Brazilian jiu-jitsu artist against a sumo wrestler. I mean, video game kind of stuff here. And now there's even sort of an accepted way to fight MMA. It's evolved. They've figured it out. You don't have these vast differences of styles anymore because it's the same thing. People know better. People know there's an optimized way to do it.
This is seriously one of the five best story ideas I've heard in the last little while. So, yes, this is going to have to be explored. I totally agree. And I remember MMA in the early days, too, and I thought it was, you know, Ken Shamrock was in the ring and you had a guy practicing Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Like, Shamrock was just this big, strong bruiser, and you would get somebody in different. Now, not it's weight class. I mean, it's everything is homogenized. So, yeah, no, all of that for sure.
Jonah, run with it. Enjoy yourself and give us a call before you publish the thing. We got first dibs.
You can absolutely have first dibs, and I might talk to you off air about this, too. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Very cool. That is Jonah Carey.
Part of our regular baseball coverage all season long.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.